You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 184. And my guest on the show today is sharing her dream is Patty from Seattle. And Patty's a phone guest. I just always have to say at the beginning that, as you know, some of our guests on The Dream Show are here by phone or Skype. And in this particular instance, what you hear is me hearing the dream for the first time. So when someone contacts and volunteers to be a guest on The Dream Show, and it is a volunteer thing because, hey, you're all listening. It's quite a brave thing to do. When you volunteer to be on the show, the idea is that we set the time and the date, and then we phone or Skype you and do the recording and a chat for a few minutes just to get some technical stuff sorted out before we begin. But we hit the recording button, and then that is the first time that I hear the dream. So you hear the dream at the same time as I do, and that makes it really interesting for you, I hope, hearing the whole process of where do you go from hearing the dream and exploring it. And as you listen, you not only get to hear how to explore a dream and get tips on that and get ideas and interpretation tips for looking at your own dreams or for helping other people look at theirs, but you also get fantastic and deep insight into the dreamer and her life or his life and what's happening for the dreamer and how the dream relates to their life, and you get to hear their response to the interpretation and their story. And I always think with these dream show guests too, that as well as learning all the tips about dream analysis, part of the power of listening to these things is simply sometimes listening to the really deep and meaningful guts of somebody else's life and being inspired by or challenged by or whatever by what's going on for that person and taking notes for our own lives. There's always so much to learn from everyone. So you'll hear from Patty in just a minute, because obviously we've just finished recording her session and I'm back here to add the beginning of the show. And for those of you that are curious, and this is the first one you've listened to, the other format is where our guests email me a dream. And that's quite a different process. And you can listen back through some of the episodes of The Dream Show and hear that format. They're both completely different. And I'm assured by listeners that some of you really, really, really love and prefer the phone ones. And some of you really, really, really love and prefer the email ones. So we're keeping them both alive happening here. Just before going over to Patty, my website address is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or you can also find me on Facebook. And what you do if you go to janetheresa.com is, of course, you can listen to all previous episodes of The Dream Show. You can also always get the last 10 on iTunes. And also at my site, you can read hundreds of articles that I've written on dreams and dreaming. You can buy my paperback books or my ebooks. And of course, you can book an appointment to have a consultation with me without everyone listening in. and lots of other things as well. So janetheresa.com or find me on Facebook. Here's Patty. Welcome to The Dream Show, Patty.
Thank you.
How are you? Is it morning, afternoon, evening? Where are you at in your day today?
It's 8 in the evening. It's summertime. And it's a really kind of mild summer day, about probably it got up to 75 today.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, well, so you've had a lovely day and we're now going back into the night realm. But before we go into a new night realm and a new night dream, we're going to go back. How far back are we going with your dream today? When did you have it?
Well, when I called you or emailed you, it was right after it happened. By the time we set this up, I think it's been about 2.5 weeks.
About 2.5 weeks, okay. So, all right, tell me your dream. As usual, I have no idea what you're going to bring us, what any guest is going to bring us. So the microphone is yours, Patty.
Okay. The title is Divided Self.
Yes.
I am sitting in the front seat of my car in the driveway with a baby on my shoulders. I keep falling asleep, but the radio is on. I'm flipping through stations. I find one I like, but the damn baby keeps hitting other buttons that mess everything up, to stations of chaos or where there's no music, or music I simply don't like. Suddenly, the mother of the baby sticks her head in and starts taking pictures. I am startled awake and now thinking she must not know that her baby isn't really safe with me if I keep falling asleep. Also, I just drank a glass of white wine, which seems irresponsible, but she doesn't know this. Next thing I know, I agree to run some errands with her. She seems very familiar to me, like Chris or Julie, both nurses I know in real life. We arrive at the shopping mall. She is now driving her car. The mall is huge, with also a hospital wing attached. I see patients wandering the halls in gowns. I thought she was only going to drop something off at her workplace, but she stays to work a couple of hours, some administrative work that needs to get done. I am in a hallway with lockers as she is getting her things for work. I see someone else I know, a nurse I work with. Then I ask her, "You have to work here, too?" She said something like, "Yes, I enjoy it, and I need the money." Not clear to me what the work is, and now it's not clear to me how I'm going to get home. I am feeling a little envious. They have jobs. They are happily busy. It appears that way. Then the woman I came with told me she only intended to work for 2 hours so we could leave together. I could shop for 2 hours while waiting. I mistakenly start walking towards the hospital wing, then turn around and she directs me towards the shopping mall. And that's the end.
So I'm just writing the last bit down. So you mistakenly go to the hospital, but she redirects you back to the shops.
Yes.
What an interesting dream.
Yes,
and a baby. So obviously we're going to start by asking you some questions to elucidate some areas of the dream. How did you feel at the end when you were, as you say, mistakenly going to the hospital, Patty, and she redirected you back to the shops? How did you feel about the redirection?
Somewhat relieved, although the hospital was more well lit than the mall. I don't know. I guess I thought shopping would be more relaxing, although I wasn't in the mood to buy anything.
Not in the mood to buy. And the beginning of this, going back to the beginning of the dream now, you're in the front seat of the car. Is it the car that you've got now? Was it a dream car?
Could it be a little bit of both?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, because the interior was black. My car is beige. But I just had a real sense of the front seat and the radio, and it was my car, and I don't really have a good sense for what overall it looked like.
Okay, that's good. You had the feeling there. So it was definitely not sitting in a kind of alien place. This is part of me. This is my car. This is my kind of home away from home. This is my car. I'm here. So that's,
exactly.
And the front, in fact, everything was right about the car, except that you were paused in it. You weren't driving anywhere. Do you think you were about to drive somewhere, or do you know why you were sitting in the front with a baby on your shoulders?
I wasn't planning on going anywhere. I've had these times where I've driven in the driveway and just sat there and listened to some really good music or, some public radio show. It just really felt like I was just sitting there to be alone and to, to get grounded or centered, feel good, find a station that just really kind of, I don't know, I want to say reawakened me.
Yes. Okay. So that is something that you often do yourself when you come home. You just take that time to get grounded and feel good before you go indoors. Yeah. So it felt like, very much like that. Only you don't usually have a baby on your shoulders.
No.
Now, how old was the baby? Gut feel for the age of the baby?
6 months.
About 6 months. Okay. And so you were half asleep, but you were listening to the radio as well. So kind of like a bit in Twilight Zone and flipping the stations, finding something you liked. But the baby kept hitting other buttons, damn it, with either no music or music you don't like. Okay.
Right.
So the first thing to ask is, if the baby was 6 months old, and dreams do tend to get numbers about right, what had been in your life for about 6 months at the time of the dream. So we're going back 2.5 weeks. So what's any idea for what's been in your life for about 6.5 months?
I took a new job at the end of February, so that would be not quite 6 months. The baby could be anywhere really from 4 to 6 months. I guess February to now is maybe 5 months.
Yes, it is. So you took the new, yes. you took the job in February, but say if you went back to your real gut feel of 6 months, then it would be a month before that. Did you start applying for the job then or thinking about the job?
I actually had the job maybe November, December, and it took 3 months to get, I had to wait for my nurse practitioner certification to come through so I could start seeing patients.
All right, okay.
But then in January, this is interesting, January, they wanted me before that happened, so they recruited me to run a breast cancer support group.
Okay. And you did that, so you actually did that?
That was about the beginning of January.
So that would make it 6 months exactly?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 6.5 months to now to recording, yes. So the baby most likely represents issues around all of that, but particularly that feeling of either, you know, the 6-month-old baby, the thing that's been in your life for 6 months and a little bit is running the breast cancer support group started then, but that was also related to your job because it was what you did while you were waiting for your certification to come through.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's, I'm just thinking there, you know, I'm hearing you and me both talk about waiting for certification to come through. And in the dream, in a sense, you're sitting in the car and waiting, although it was actually waiting to go indoors. There's that sense of not going anywhere and stopping. So So the 6-month-old baby may represent in any of that, you know, they're actually running the breast cancer support group or the reasons why I had to run the breast support group while I was waiting, breast cancer support while
I
was waiting.
Right, yeah. Waiting for the right radio station.
Exactly, yeah. Waiting for the one that you want with the right music. And yes.
Uh-huh.
But the baby, who represents maybe running the breast cancer support group, kept hitting the other buttons. So So she was bringing up stations for you that weren't what you liked.
Exactly. I'm not going to say any more, but no, there's a lot to that.
Okay, that's great. So although you're enlightened us later, we're on the right track to think that the baby represents doing the breast cancer support group and that bringing up stations or things for you which weren't completely to your liking.
Yes.
Okay. So then the mother of the baby comes into the dreams to take pictures. So, you know, we can go down the track, of course, that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer, and that is always true. But if we think about the mother of the baby, what does that represent? Is it the part of yourself that said, I'll do the breast cancer support group then, the mother of that? Or it might represent, in a sense, the organization that offered that to you. You know, they are, well, we've got this, we're the mother of this breast cancer support group and we'd like you to take it over for a short while you're waiting for your certification to come through. So it's some sense around that, the kind of energy behind the baby, the energy behind the breast cancer support begins to take pictures and, as you say, startled you awake. So how did you feel about being startled awake in the dream?
I was really... it was kind of jarring, uncomfortable. At the same time, I just wanted to tell her to go away, but I couldn't do that. And I didn't want the baby there, and I didn't want her there.
Mm.
There was this real feeling that I wanted to be alone and process something.
Mm. Okay, that's good. So just to make it clear for everyone listening in too, The dream does reflect the 1 to 2 days beforehand, so we are going to be pinpointing that for Patty. But of course, whatever's happened in the 1 to 2 days beforehand will always resonate with an earlier issue. You know, oh, this has come up again, or this has come up. Let me get some light on that. Oh, it's because of what happened 6 months ago or whatever. So we're still going to be looking at what was happening in the day or two before your dream, Patty, eventually. But we're already knowing that what's been going on for you just before the dream relates back to the, you know, perhaps the beginning of being asked to take the breast cancer support group and how you felt about all of that. And as the dream suggests, that either the baby's already 6 months old here, so either the 1 to 2 days before the dream or way back then, this issue of taking on the breast cancer support group jarred you in an uncomfortable way. You wanted to say to it, no, I don't want to do that, go away. I want to be alone to process something else. I've got something else on my mind that I want to deal with. I don't really want to put my energies into the breast cancer support group. So that might have come up for you when you offered it, but it's more likely to have been something that came up in the 1 to 2 days before the dream, the sudden feeling of, I've got a process I'm going through now, and I want to be alone to process it. I don't want to be faced with this breast cancer support group, or I don't want to be faced with the kind of expectations or demands that other people put on me, that I have to be doing this, that or the other while I'm waiting for my certification. And I've just realized as I'm saying that, Patty, the end of the dream is, or you know, the rest of the dream goes into that, doesn't it? Oh, I thought we were just visiting the shopping center, but now I'm waiting for her to do this 2 hours work at the hospital. I've got to go and do something while I'm waiting for this to happen.
Oh yeah. So, you know, and I don't, I mean, maybe there's something to the dream where I started to look at it like, oh, I don't really want to be doing this, but now there's no one else to do it, and I've taken it on, and I do enjoy it. When they did ask me to do it, I was actually really looking forward to it because I've done it before, but this is a different format. The first group did not go well, and subsequently it's been better, and I'm more open to it, and it's probably the part of my job, the small part, but it's something I do enjoy now.
Yes. Okay, so in the 1 to 2 days before the dream, you were still in a state of enjoyment over doing that. You'd got over those earlier hurdles?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll work that in. That's really good to know. But so in a sense, there was a, we still don't know whether the 1 to 2 days before the dream or back at the beginning, there was a sense of being startled awake into something. You know, and it could even be that, as you say, this time round it was a different format. So there was a sense of being startled into, oh, right, God, this is different. How do I handle this? And oops, the first group didn't go too well for whatever reasons. And as you said, it made you more open to it now. So it created the challenge, created a shift in you in some sense, which has made things, made you more open to that area of your work.
I always had a co-facilitator when I did support groups, and this one I'm just by myself. Mm. Although it's not deep processing, it's more psychoeducational.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That it's not deep psyche work as you were doing before. It's not deep processing. And you said just earlier in the dream, the woman stuck her head in the window and startled you awake, and you didn't want that. You wanted to be left alone to process. So in the dream, there's a sense of I'm enjoying the processing, actually. And in the waking life situation, this group was not about doing the processing that you normally do with women in such a group.
Yeah.
You were startled from doing deep processing or being left alone to process to doing psycho-educational work. So the dream kind of reflects that there too, you know, although that challenge has opened you up to be able to be interested in, as you say, enjoy doing the psycho-educational work, but in a sense missing the deep processing work that's involved with it in your earlier incarnation of it.
Yeah.
So if we go on with the...
I have more to say about that, but that'll be at the end.
Okay. So we go back to the dream at this point, and after the mother's baby has woken you up, you're thinking, oh, does she know that she's safe with me? I've had some white wine, which is a bit irresponsible. What if she knew that? So in the context that we've been looking at so far, you're questioning in the dream, how I am working with this breast cancer support group. Does the entity which gave me this work realize that things may not be as they seem? I might have some different views. I might have had some white wine. We'll look at what that means in a minute. They might not be safe with me. In other words, to me, it's a sense of you, from what you've just told us there, you were engaged to do psychoeducation, but, you know, do they realize, is it safe to leave a psychoeducation group with someone who's actually much more interested in maybe taking these women on a deep processing journey? Are the women safe, you know? This isn't just a safe little education group here.
And then the first group, it wasn't safe, so I actually had to kick someone out. But, I mean, I'm torn between, I mean, I love the education, but I like hearing the deep processing. I just don't want to be responsible for hearing all that on my own, because that isn't the way it's done.
Yes. So that makes a lot of sense. And when you say that you don't want to be responsible for doing that deep processing on your own, that brings up the word irresponsible in your dream report. You know, when you said, do they know I've had white wine and that I might be irresponsible? So you've immediately drawn attention to that fact in the dream of the questioning of responsibility. I might be irresponsible. And you've, you know, so there's that sense of, do they really know what they've given me? Because I am likely to, even though I've been told to do psychoeducation, there's at least an unconscious part of me that would really love to take these women on a deep processing journey. But that would be irresponsible of me because I'm here on my own and I've been trained to do that in a group situation with other facilitators. So that to me is the white wine. I'm going to ask you more about the white wine in a minute, but the white wine aspect of the dream. Are they safe with me? Do they realize that I really want to do so much more here? And how do I feel about that? What does white wine mean to you?
Well, I can't drink red wine, so I drink white wine. I don't know. It's like I feel the word that's coming up is it's tamer, it's gentler, it's safer. I'm just somehow what's coming up is that I don't think working in a traditional medical institution they realize my or really want to know my background, which is a master's in nursing, but my PhD is in depth psychology, which is really studying psychology through philosophy, literature, mythology, poetry, and it gives a much deeper meaning to illness and suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was resisting taking this job, because I would like to empower that part of myself and to be able to use more of that. And although I see through that lens, which is very powerful for me, but maybe they might see it as not mainstream, nonconformist, irresponsible. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You've summarized those feelings really well. And particularly when you said, I see it through that lens. And of course, in the dream, you had the owner poking her head into the car, taking pictures through a different lens. So there was that questioning in the dream of what lens are we looking at here? And because everyone in a dream does represent something about you, that owner poking her head in and taking pictures is your feelings about, well, what lens are they looking through? And what do they see when they see me in charge of this group? And at some level too, Patty, you know, what are their fears? Because they've brought you into this job knowing that you have a PhD in depth psychology and are probably more interested in going down that route. So what, you know, the dream is you reviewing what you think they might think of you rather than what you actually know they think of you. Hence their question, is she safe?
I probably need to give that up and just, I know there's a real depth of purpose to me being there, and I don't think they understand at all this degree and what it means, and I don't know that they care. I mean, I do, but sometimes I feel sort of isolated in my views.
Yes, yeah.
So, I guess a couple other things that come up is just briefly about the white wine. You can see through it. We're talking about a lens, and it's sort of like liminal, or reminds me of being at a threshold. And a woman who came, the mother of the baby, was probably myself in her 30s. And with that second degree, a master's in nursing, it was much more traditional. And I felt that I was doing what I wanted to do, probably what other people wanted me to do, and I was fitting in. I no longer really fit in, but there's a certain work I want to do with these patients.
Yes, that makes so much sense. So, and particularly then in identifying the owner of the baby as yourself in your 30s with your with a more the more traditional qualifications that you had then. So you've got that sense in the dream then of looking through the lens of your younger self and seeing how she's judging you. Also, I love what you said about seeing the white wine as a lens too, as a liminal threshold lens. So, so the dream then may inform you that the younger part of yourself is still judgmental or questioning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in an, it's always good to be questioned. It's always good to be on our toes. But in an ideal world, we don't really want our younger, any aspect of our younger self, as well, you know, standing in our way. We would like to have everyone on board and at least sharing some opinions and supporting our our endeavors in the world. So, you know, one aspect to look at would be to we've got so much more to do with the dream yet, but to do some alchemy around bringing that mother back on board, or maybe even bringing her into the car, back on board into the car, yourself at the age of 30s, explaining it to her, psycho-educating her about where you where you're up to now. Changing her mind.
Yeah, I love that. Makes sense, yes.
Yeah.
But at least I was in the front seat of my car.
Oh, yes. Oh, look, I think it's a very positive dream because you were, and you said you felt very powerful in that space and it felt very you. It was just that you had this baby flipping the stations. You could have done without. You wanted to get on and do your real stuff, not have this group putting you onto a different track.
Heavy on my shoulders, and I remember not being able to hardly keep my head up.
Ah, yes. So a burden.
That's a baby.
Yes. So a baby that you would normally hold in your arms and nurture and cuddle was actually, and would at least in idealistic terms and actual terms, be a supreme joy in one's life, is actually pictured as a burden in this one. So a burden on your shoulders, which is how the group was feeling to you at the time, this not getting the music station that I want. I have this burden that I'm shouldering.
And I wasn't even looking at the baby or bonding with the baby, so that was kind of strange, too. That made me feel sad.
So
after
you,
I woke up.
So you were missing the... do you feel... I don't want you to say too much at this stage about the situation, but would there have been an element of not really feeling bonded with the group then, with the or with... with your intentions for the group?
Yes, I would say those are more in line with, you know, why the women are coming and with my philosophy, and I can vary it and structure it. I have much more leeway to do that than I thought I did.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah. So if we return to the middle of the dream, you make an agreement with someone who feels like Chris and feels like Julia to do some errands. So when we have this in a dream, when we have a single person in a dream who feels like two people, what we're looking for is the overlap between the two people. You know, what is it that both these people represent, that this character represents? So if you look at Chris, is that a female Chris or a male Chris?
A female.
What three words would you use to describe Chrissy's approach to life?
Too damn religious.
That's three words. Now two other concepts.
very good nurse, incredibly kind, but yeah, very judgmental.
Judgmental and religious, okay. And same for Julia. What would your three words for her be?
Well, she's been a surprise because she's coming from a place I worked at before this job, and I never really did things outside of work with any of the other nurses, but she's been pursuing me and wanting to see me more often. And she, in some ways, she's been kind of reaching out in a maternal way.
Maternally to look after you as a mother would a child? You mean?
Maybe not quite that far, but kind of keeping in touch and really saying things like, she's so proud of me the way I've reinvented myself, and just always there.
Supportive.
I don't know, like wanting to celebrate my new discoveries, my birthday on 4th of July, which is a big deal in the United States. Just surprising me, reaching out and surprising me.
There would be more to it than this, but one thing that jumps into my mind, as you said, you know, when you took on the breast cancer support group, it was a challenge and things changed and you became more open to it. So there may be a sense of surprise there that things morphed and changed and you know, you may have surprised yourself with how you responded. I don't know, but the only overlap that I can see, but you'll need to come up with it, between Chris and Julie, from what you say, is kindness.
Kindness.
So are they, do you think they're in the dream as kind of a tension of opposites? Or do you see something that they
actually... Yeah, and I feel like in some ways they both help me find direction and more courage.
Direction and courage, did you say? Yeah.
Yes, and they're both... Even to this day, if I were to go back and see their really religious one, we haven't talked for years, I would say what they have in common, they're both incredibly, they are very empowering, nurturing, and they think what I've done is incredible, and I never talk to myself like that, so they're kind of wonderful to be around in that way. They're very genuine and sincere.
Right, that's wonderful. So you've done it. You found out what their thing that they have in common with. So they're empowering, nurturing. They see that the incredible things that you've done that you don't realize that you've done. You don't talk to yourself in that way.
Right.
So that's what they represent in the dream, which is absolutely wonderful. So your dreaming brain has come up with this amalgam of Chris and Julia to represent that feeling. So at this point in the dream, you agree to go on errands with them. So the part of this dream is really, I've asked myself these questions about, am I safe with this breast cancer support group? Are they safe with me? Don't they realize I really want to do deep depth psychology and interesting, fantastic, transformative things with them? I'm asking myself these questions. I've come up with this sense of a part of myself from my earlier, when I was in my 30s, that was that needs some education about where I'm up to now, and I'm now ready to take this journey. And this journey, in a sense, is one that I need to take where I perhaps need the support of feeling that I have done something incredible. And so really that comes back to you in the 30s, doesn't it? You're instantly already arguing in the dream with the mother of the baby, i.e. you in your 30s, who isn't really supportive of the incredible things you've done. You're now going, okay, let's get some inner support here, pictured as Chris and Julie. How far can I go in believing that I have done something incredible and wonderful? You're already beginning to convince yourself, or at least feeling, I need the support from other people to convince this. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to integrate, a voice within yourself that does tell you you are incredible and you have done amazing things.
Yes, and this job is very different from what I've done before. It's not a high-powered job where I work with all these physicians and try to be like them and hide the, empathic, intuitive nurse witness archetype. It's really getting at my really original, authentic voice and who I really want to be in the workplace.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. This is the job that you've actually got now, not the breast cancer support group, but the fuller, bigger job.
Yeah, it's a bigger job that goes with it. But I see myself that way in the support group also.
As well, okay.
Yes.
Excellent. So, so in the dream, your this dream refers to 1 or 2 days before the dream, which was only 2.5 weeks ago. You've already been in the job for 5 months, and this issue has come up at this stage, which I really do have this wonderful job where I am able to be use my authentic voice and not have to hide the empathetic, intuitive nurse aspect of myself. I don't have to try to be traditional or like the doctors. So you've got all those good things going for you, and yet there's a sense in the dream of I've really got to step up a bit more with giving myself support, knocking down my judgmental voice that, you know, that people are maybe not safe with me, that I may be irresponsible. So this part of the dream, you're in the hallway. There's this whole thing about, I'm just trying to read my writing here, about suddenly, you know, you thought you were just going to visit the mall. What did you think you were going to do there, shopping or?
Yeah, shopping, not so much buying, but walking around and just relaxing, and I'm kind of mortified to see that it's also a hospital and a shopping mall, and I end up going the wrong way towards the hospital, and then so I woke up thinking, well, what do I really want to do?
Yes, okay, I've got it. Well, so so you had wanted to be somewhere relaxing, which is shopping, and instead it took you to work.
And right
at the beginning of the dream, there was that sense of, don't wake me up. I'm happy sitting in this car. I just need to, I want to be alone and process some stuff. So there's two points of in common there, which is, I just need to take time out. I need to relax. Mm-hmm. I need to process some stuff. And in the dream, that's what you thought was going to happen. But then you start walking towards work instead. But then you were turned away and told clearly to get out of here and go shopping.
As I can't quite let myself, you know, relax and be calm, I still am in this job and I can make of it whatever I wish, but I still compare myself to that other heroic person who, you know, just worked in a traditional role and was well known in the community as a certain person, and yet I take this job and it's not measured in the same ways, and I have to totally look at it differently, and I don't measure up to anybody. It's just what I want to make of it myself. I have to just be myself.
Yes, and they are happy with you deciding on the measuring up factors?
I think so. I have one of the best managers I've ever had, and she encourages me to work to my full potential without saying much. She's very clever and very supportive.
That's fantastic. So you have that support in the job and in people around you. It remains for you to have that support 100% within yourself. I'm not sure what I said, but I'll have another go. that you have the support in your job from the people that are there, and as you say, your boss. But your job is also to make sure that you've got the support within yourself. You know that you've integrated the 30-year-old you, for example.
Yeah. I would say that's a big part of it. I've never had this much support at work, at least from the job I was just on and quit because of lack of resources and lack of support. So I'm a little unsettled. Is this for real? How long is it going to last? What are they going to eventually do to me?
Yeah, can I really relax, a.k.a. go shopping? Can I really relax, or do I have to keep working really, really hard because one day they're going to withdraw the support and I'm going to have to measure up according to the old standards?
Yeah, I'm a little cautious, and that keeps me on edge, and I don't really want to be like that because I feel like I'm winding down in the last few years of my career.
What are the benefits of relaxing to the job that you've got? What does relaxing help you to bring to your job?
So that I'm really enjoying it. I want to be there. I look forward to it. But I've got to stop expecting myself to measure up to the old standards, that whatever I do is good enough. It's a new direction. It's a new me, and it's just a new way of being. It's not so much about performing as just being, and I'm still hard on myself in that way.
Yes. And is that...
But every day I'm like, oh, this feels strange. Is this okay? Is this the job I'm supposed to be at? Everybody tells me I'm the perfect person for this. And then somebody asked me the other day, are you excited about your new job? And I said, I just don't get excited like that. I guess it's a different kind of enthusiasm, and I don't feel the energy, libido, the power around it. So then it makes me wonder, is this the right thing?
Mm. If your job were a radio station, how well would it match the radio station that you would like to listen to?
Mm. Oh, I would say, there's a lot of potential, a lot of depth, and a lot of resources.
Mm. So it's good.
And it's unique. It's one of a kind.
Mm.
I mean, there are other ones, but not. Should I tell you now what I do or wait a little longer?
It's probably time to, simply because we're 40 minutes into the recording, so it probably is time for that. I mean, my take before you do would be, in adding to everything we've already said, is that you may be feeling that you can't relax and take time out, and those things would actually always energize us and always bring us in with fresh new ideas. So there's that part of it. You know, you keep in the dream mistakenly walking to the hospital, which is work, instead of going and relaxing. So there's that sense, mm-hmm. and that part of that driving force is, you say that unconsciously and a little bit consciously, you're concerned that you might be measured by the old standards, that the support at work might disappear from one day to the next, and that the other aspect is to work on integrating the part of yourself that, you know, from when you were in your 30s, who was more traditionally qualified and maybe being judgmental. So to me, working on those aspects and bringing everything within yourself on board and in alignment with, as you say, your authentic voice, and trusting mm-hmm. that experience at work enough that you can actually take time out and relax, and therefore bring, you know, increasing freshness into what you do. That would be my take on the dream. So if you'd like to, we could still do some dream alchemy on that, but if you'd like to, at this stage, you know, relate everything to what's actually going on for you.
Yeah, and I just might add, along the lines you're saying, I would like to be valued without being a conformist, but I'm going to need to do that for myself. What I do is I run a cancer survivorship clinic, and it's a new thing in the country. Any major cancer centers have to have a survivorship clinic where patients go when they finish chemo, and they're usually earlier stages. They're in remission or, quote, cured, unquote. And they come get a treatment summary on a couple pieces of paper, and I go over physical, psychological, emotional, existential concerns. You know, who am I now that I just went through this treatment with this diagnosis of cancer? I even told the doctors when they hired me that I'm not a conformist, and I believe that patients are not looking for another care plan. They're looking for meaning.
Yes.
And just, I think my own thing of quitting work and being off work for a year and a half and trying to find myself, it makes me really qualified to do this, and also my depth psychological background. And I was recruited by one of the surgeons and nurse practitioners who worked there. So I definitely have faith and belief that I'm in the right place. I'm just questioning myself because I don't have the same kind of enthusiasm and energy, and I don't know that that's really, I don't know that I want to go back to that old way. I don't believe that I want to find that old self. But she was comforting. It was familiar.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. So, you know, there's two things around that feeling of, I don't, you know, not sure that I want to go back to that old feeling of enthusiasm and energy. I mean, the one is, if you did relax more, you might find that you've got more energy, with or without the enthusiasm, the energy might return. But I also hear what you're saying, that as you know, you mentioned these are the last years you feel that you want to devote to a career. And so, you know, there must come that time when, and particularly after taking that year and a half out, that, you know, to find meaning in your own life and decide what you want to do, maybe in place of enthusiasm is a calm wisdom. You know, so maybe that question that came up for you when somebody asked, well, are you excited, enthusiastic, maybe brought that to you for deliberation, for contemplation, you know. Well,
very much. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is enthusiasm a valid marker in my life now? Is that what I want? Or am I actually more, is it calm wisdom that I want, and is it a sense of peace that I want to impart with the women that I work with, rather than here I am, I'm all enthusiastic about my role in working with you women today. Maybe that's not what they want either. Maybe they want to feel that they're, in the presence of.
One of them even said, who asked me that, she says, you know, I am so glad you said that. She says, I thought maybe something was wrong with me. I just didn't want to admit it. People kept asking me that question, and I was just being truthful and trusted that I could say that. It's a different kind of, I don't know, a more mature wisdom versus this little girl excitement, I guess.
Yes. So how does that sit with you now, Patty, if you picture going forward in the job that you've got, feeling 100% comfortable with that calm wisdom, more mature energy?
I think there's so much to this that I want to stop trying to imagine myself doing only a certain thing with it and being seen only a certain way. I'm trying to be really open to, like, where it might go, because I see so many possibilities, so much potential.
Yes. And do you feel that embracing, being open to seeing all those possibilities and potential and choosing which ways to go is something that you can do somehow in a more positive way by being the calm, mature wisdom than by being the enthusiastic, excited energy?
Yes, yeah. It's like my own genuine sense of heroism in a way, and just sort of trusting, it's taking a lot of patience.
So, because we're coming to the end of the recording, what's you called the dream the title My Divided Self. How do you feel now, looking at the dream? Do you feel it? Do you feel that divided self is more integrated, or have we, in exploring the dream together, have we brought more unity of self to you?
I'd like to say yes. You know, I certainly feel like I'm not so, I'm not so divided. I am not so split off from this self that I'm comfortable with. I think I'm in a much better place than I was a year ago. It feels good to be making money and to be doing this work. I just don't know where it's going to go. I just need to really believe in the purpose, the synchronicity around it, and what this dream is trying to tell me.
Yes, yeah. And so I
think just the hospital and the mall, that I can somehow, I mean, there's a bridge between the two, and somehow I can be that bridge with the philosophical lens that I look through, and then the traditional business model that medicine has become in this country, that I can somehow really work with that and be the receiver as well as give from that platform.
Yes, absolutely. And to also, maybe I can add to that also, maybe to not need to know or not be consumed to know where it's going to lead to, but just to allow it all, you know, as you said, you're already feeling more open to allow it to unfold, and to know that, you know, the more expert you become at what you do, and the more years of wisdom you add into that, the more opportunities there are. You know, in fact, there are far too many paths than you or anybody in your position could ever take or fulfill or delegate to. So, you know, at the end, it's a matter of, well, I'll choose one of these radio stations that I like. I can't listen to them all. I can't do them all. So to not be caught up with thinking, I've got to pick the right one, or where is this going to lead, but more to be...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. The doctor said to me, who's known me in the community, I just said, it is so hard starting all over again, because I had a really big, busy breast cancer practice, and now I hardly see any patients. And she says, yes, but just think of your wisdom. Mm. And I really liked that. It was really reassuring.
Yes. You've moved into a different age. Sorry?
I need to tell myself that.
You
I need
do.
To validate that with them.
Okay, so how are we going to do that? Let's pick a dream alchemy that helps you to validate that wisdom for yourself.
Okay.
I'm wondering, there are many ways that we can do this, but I guess because we had that concept there of there are so many radio stations and some of them are not what you want to listen to, but many of them are great possibilities, but you can only do one or delegate to go down the others. You know, you might see 10 wonderful opportunities and one of them's for you, and you can think of 9 other people to go down the other ones, or 9 other projects for them that you can half oversee. You hear what I'm saying, but you can't do it all.
Oh, it's a well, analogy to my writing, actually, too.
Okay, so where do you see the analogy to your writing?
That I just thought it was going to turn out a certain way after I wrote this dissertation, and I pulled in all these different directions, and finally being kinder to myself about the kind of writing I want to do, and just letting it come, and I'm taking a writing class about letting things come more from the unconscious instead of trying to control it.
Fantastic. That is great. And more from the calm wisdom that you've got as well. Yeah. So we could work on validating this wisdom within yourself through writing.
Okay.
If you'd like to do that. And there are many ways we could go. I mean, you know, some examples that, because we want, as it's dream alchemy, to work with the symbol from the dream. I mean, one is one that you brought up just a few minutes ago. You could do a piece of writing on a dialogue between the shopping mall and the hospital, or are you standing on the bridge in between the two, talking to the hospital and kind of almost facilitating a discussion between the hospital and the mall. That would be one way to do it. Validating the wisdom. Another one would be to write a piece, to just go in open flow, as you say, flowing with your unconscious, not really knowing where it's going to take you, but with an intention to write something about chatting with yourself when you were in your 30s, when you were traditional, enthusiastic and full of energy. The idea being to psychoeducate her, to bring things into alignment and to validate your wisdom. That could be another way of doing it, because she was in the dream, so it's transforming a dream symbol.
She validate my wisdom, or I validate hers, or that we have some kind of exchange?
You want to do an exchange which brings her on board, really.
Okay.
You want to integrate her.
What about the baby?
The baby, did you say? Well, I'm picturing, because we want to bring her on board, and she's not on board in the dream. She's not on board the car. She's sticking her head in the window. So how about the writing involves, oh, hello, come into the car. You've got her on board. Get the baby off your shoulders, and maybe between the two of you, play with the baby. Okay. Make it joyful and playful, because you're both older and wiser mothers and you know how to do this. Play with the baby and have a discussion about validating all the wisdom, that things that you've learned. And maybe you can talk to her, your younger self, about what you've learned in the years since you were her age. So what you want at the end of that is for her to come round, basically, and, you know, you'll do this in your own writerly way, but her to come round in the end and go, oh, my God, I didn't realize, you know, this is so wonderful. I'm really validating your wisdom. And, oh, that's me, because I'm a part of you. And maybe she then grows up from being 30. She grows up to your current age. And you've then integrated her away from being a judgmental voice. You've convinced her otherwise. You've validated the wisdom and allowed her to grow up and be your current age.
Yes. Yeah. No, I like that. And I think some of this just has to do with aging and how our society sees aging. So, you know, I'm definitely older than her in the car, and I know I'm probably 10, 20 years older. Well, I'm in my late 50s, so which I think I was in the car in the dream.
That's perfect. And so, you know, you've only got another 50 years ahead of you to continue this work, so...
Yeah, well, my grandma lived to be 100, and when I did her funeral when I was 50... I realized, oh, my God, she'd only lived half of her life at this age.
Yes.
So incredible.
Yeah. So you've got, you know, work on this validation, and you've got all that lovely calm wisdom to take forward for so many decades yet, if that's what you choose to do.
Yes.
You're doing wonderful work, Patty. Are you happy with what you've got to do now with the Dream Alchemy? And you, is there any other questions that you needed to ask before we need to wind?
No, that feels really right, getting her in the car and having dialogue and bringing her on board and teaching her my wisdom, everything I've learned since then, and having her say, oh my God, I didn't realize. I love it.
Yes, perfect. Okay, do that as soon as you can while it's fresh, because, you know, when we're talking about a dream, talking about dream symbols and everything it brings up, the unconscious is so engaged that it's really lovely to go straight into the Dream Alchemy and just do the task straight away while it's all flowing. You know, and there's no right or wrong in Dream Alchemy. There's no big marks or 10 out of 10 in the sky for doing it one way other than another. It's about the process. So just, you know, if you can, I know it's getting quite late in the day for you there, but if you can just do it straight after our recording, that will probably be the most powerful.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, thank you for being a wonderful guest on the Dream Show once again, because you have in the past, and I'm sure that you know, we're all here celebrating with you and validating you, and everyone listening will have learned heaps from listening to this one. So thank you very much for volunteering.
Thank you, Jane Teresa. I always have fun doing this.
I guess it's never occurred to me to say this before, because I've assumed that you've done this, but I'm going to suggest it this time round. After listening to, you know, something really deep and complex and amazing, like exploring Patty's dream and everything that came out of it, you might like just want to, when you finish the show, take a piece of paper or get onto your keyboard and just write down two or three main things that you got from listening to this. You know, hopefully you've got loads and loads of things, but sometimes when you get loads and loads of things, it can crowd everything out and life goes back to normal. And it can be worth just writing down two or three big things that you've got from this that you'd like to take forward with you. So it might be just something that you've learned about life through listening to Patty. It might be a particular technique of exploring dreams that really sung out to you that you haven't used before. Or it just might be something that occurred to you between the lines while listening that you thought, oh, I've just realized something amazing. Before it goes, write it down. So that's just a suggestion for you to think about. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, head to my website at janeteresa.com, go to the menu, go to podcasts, and you'll see a drop-down box, and there's one called Be a Guest on The Dream Show. There are lots of people putting up their hands, but you never know, you might be the lucky one at the lucky time, so do go and have a look, please. We do need guests to make this show have life. And thank you to Patty and all previous and future guests who put up their hands to come on the show. It lives and it gets heard in 26 countries, and it helps people and inspires people all because of you. Our next episode, episode 185, will be out on the 9th of December 2016 in real time. Of course, you can listen to The Dream Show at any time, at your leisure, in your time zone, wherever that is in the world. Do please share The Dream Show with your friends, and everyone dreams, everyone's interested at some level. I know I'll be speaking to some of you between now and the next episode with various sessions that you're doing with me. And everybody else, I'll see you next time. Have a lovely month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.